Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Many Americans have fallen back into complacency concerning the dangers of Islam, which have not changed in 1,400 years. In the Western world, Islam's target is freedom and democracy. So why should Americans be concerned when most of our country still practices Christianity? Perhaps the three practicing Muslims in our Congress should now give us pause. Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, USAF, retired, was the former Assistant Vice Chief of the USAF and Director of the Defense Performance Review, reporting directly to SecDef and the Vice President when he retired after 35 years active duty in 1994. His many positions in his 35-year military career include 4 tours in Vietnam, commander of Alaskan Air Command, Alaska NORAD region, and Alaskan Command. He's a frequent military analyst on TV and national radio, including the Fox News Channel, and he's the member of the Citizens Commission on National Security. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to General Thomas McInerney. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you very much, Audrey. Delighted to be with you this morning.
Oh, it's always great to have you with us, Tom. And actually, I want to take a little departure right at the start here. And I understand you have some information about the Russian hacking and such. So please share with us.
Well, everybody knows that the Senate Intelligence Committee under Senator Richard Burr and the ranking member is Mark Warner. They issued their report yesterday and said there was no collusion with Russia by the Trump administration or the Trump campaign, which was alleged. In addition, I got some information that has not yet been published that Bill Binney, the former highly placed NSA, National Security Agency official, who has been examining the hacking of the DNC computer, and his bottom line is it was an inside job. He does not say who, but he says through the analysis that they're able to tell on these hacking jobs that it was an inside job. And I won't confuse people with the technology that he used to do that. But what that means is this whole Russian dossier scam, Russian collusion scam, has been wrong from the very start. This kills Mueller's investigation with that analysis, and why they wasn't done before. And Binney is an outside official, but a master at the NSA business. It is very perplexing, but what it does reinforce the Obama administration through their intelligence community faked this Russian collusion on the Trump administration. Bottom line, Audrey.
Unbelievable. So do you think we might hear an announcement from Mueller, or is he just going to keep dragging this on?
Well, that's going to be very interesting what he does. Every turn he's made, because the House Intelligence Committee under Devin Nunes issued their report in December, no Russian collusion. So now you've got 2 reports from the Hill, the intelligence committees. Judicial is still going to report out, but there is no evidence of it. Let's see what he does, but it does prove that he's complicit. It proves that many of the House members and senators on the Democratic side have been complicit, and clearly the mainstream media has been complicit in this alleged Russian collusion by the Trump campaign.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know what I wanted to focus on today, Tom, was something that Americans are not paying attention to yet again. Islam utilizing white guilt, and I want to make that very clear, white guilt, because it's been utilized quite well in Europe. But utilizing white guilt has succeeded in basically raping and subjugating Europe yet again. We've watched this since we were made aware of it after 9/11. So, Tom, why have we fallen asleep yet again in the West? when it concerns Islam?
Well, I think for a number of reasons. Number one, we've defeated them on the battlefield in the Middle East. ISIS is all but eliminated. Now, that's their territorial claims, but they will go underground just like Al-Qaeda has and all these other franchise terrorist groups, Hamas, Hezbollah, etc. But they've been defeated openly when they declared the caliphate. Number two, we have the Russians and the Chinese expanding globally, and the president has announced a new national defense strategy, which focuses basically on a peer threat. That means Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, those nation states that have main force capabilities that are a threat and that are building or have nuclear weapons. So that's where we're putting our focus. It's not that the counterinsurgency or the war against radical Islam, as I call it, has ceased. It's been suppressed. And then you roll in the mainstream media and the Democratic Party and the Obama administration's creating this Russian collusion false narrative. And so all these things combined have made us take our eye off the ball. But clearly, the threat of radical Islam, now we have three members in the Congress that are Muslim. And the recent, yesterday, Ilhan Omar's comments about Islam and anti-Semitic comments, it's now coming out of our own Congress. And why was she elected? Well, she was elected from a district that many Muslims have moved into and are voting for her because of her Muslim ideology. Yeah. Remember I said Russian, her Muslim ideology. There is no question that Islam is an ideology.
Yes, that's
and why do I say that?
Very important, yes.
That's pretty profound, and it's going to get some people excited, but 85% of the doctrine in Islam is political. It has nothing to do with religion. 15% is the religious side. What does being a shaheed, a martyr, have to do, like killing innocent women and children and saying you're going to paradise and get 72 virgins? What does that have to do with religion? That is an ideology. What does it have to do with the way they treat women as second-class citizens? In clear violation of our Constitution, where all people are created equal. It doesn't say all men are created equal. It says all people, men, women, black, Jap, Asian, whatever it is, they're all created equal in the United States. That's not true in Islam.
That's right.
And so that's why I call it an ideology. And unfortunately, under the Obama administration, they did not call it an ideology. Mm-mm. They did not call it radical Islam. And so that is one of our great challenges.
Yes.
That we face.
Yeah. It's how they get it. It's really political, as you said, a political ideology cloaked in religion. So this is how they get their foot in the door. Now, from its inception, it's been a hateful, destructive ideology that seeks to conquer. It prefers to do so through invasion, as we've seen, and submission, which defines Islam, enslavement or death. Its founder, let's be honest, his founder was a bloody warmonger and a thief who had no tolerance for any dissent, and his record really bears that out. Though most Muslims do not have a thirst for infidel blood, predominantly due to illiteracy or they never having read the Quran or the Hadith, it's impossible to determine when a follower of Islam will become devout. And that it's not radical when they say radical, it's devout. That impossibility makes it dangerous for any Western government to put their citizens in peril by appeasing this kind of creed. Now, they're pretty wise, as we well know. They like the left, another totalitarian entity, they use minorities in the West to do their bidding. We're seeing that now with the three Muslims that are the practicing Muslims who are in our Congress. Ilhan Omar, you mentioned, has become the first federal legislator to wear a religious headscarf. Now, hats, of course, have been banned from the House chamber of the Capitol for nearly two centuries. About 181 years. Under a new rule proposed by the Democrats, and they brought it to pass, the rule would be relaxed to, it's been relaxed to allow religious headgear, and this is what how they got that through. They said hijab or a kippah, okay? For listeners who don't know what that is, a kippah is a head covering that men in the Orthodox community wear. There's no Jewish law requiring that. It's done out of reverence for God. The hijab, on the other hand, is a mandatory obligation of women in Islam. It's a symbol of oppression and subjugation, and it is Sharia law. So, Tom, why would Republicans agree to this, which is Sharia law in our government?
Insane. Insane, Audrey. Why would they agree to that? I mean, when you think about it, you see, it's a creeping Sharia law that the Archbishop of Canterbury 10-some years ago said, well, perhaps we must allow parts of Sharia law to enter into our legal system.
It's insane.
You don't let parts of Nazism or parts of communism enter, although if you look at the Democrats now and what they're proposing on their new green legislation. That is not socialism. That's communism. Evenly distributed. And I don't want to get off on that because that's...
Well, it's okay. You can share it. You can share it because we have the time.
The fact is the progressives are in communist territory. It's not socialism. They're in communist territory. The redistribution of wealth where what they're proposing, and it's even more ridiculous because, and I don't want to spend time on getting rid of aviation, airlines.
Crazy.
Does that mean we're going to get rid of our Air Force? I haven't heard anybody on television say that yet, Audrey.
But that's a good point.
Get rid of airlines. Yeah. Why wouldn't they get rid of your Air Force?
Wow. I didn't even think of that. You're right.
It's insane. As I say, this is not socialism. This is communism. But let's drop back to what our problem is with Islam. Because they do use minorities. They do sneak in. They do put parts of Sharia law into a government. There are places, many places, and I say many, a number of them in the United States, where Sharia law is the law of that community and where they have honor killings. That's part of Sharia law.
Yes.
It means if your daughter... wants to marry an infidel, that's you and I, a non-Muslim,
yes.
And that is and they kill them in their honor. They will not tolerate it. A Muslim woman cannot marry a Christian man or a non-Muslim man. He must convert to Islam, and or otherwise, in Sharia law, they can be killed. And they do that. They do it in the United States.
Yes.
It happened. Fairly often.
Exactly. Exactly. But your point there, which is, I didn't even come to mind about the fact that because the left and Islam are both totalitarian in nature. I mean,
yes.
Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do we, again, as if we haven't written enough, you know, and I've written about this before, enough to educate our representatives, do we have to educate our representatives again on how Islam operates through deception?
Well, apparently we do. I mean, it was just coming up on 18 years that 9/11 happened, and yet we are adopting Sharia policies and law in our own Congress. And as you said, they are spreading it like they did in Europe through Hijra.
Yes.
And Hijra is when you go out and you put immigrants into another area and increase the ratio of Muslims in the population in such that they start building up. And you see what has happened in Europe with their open borders. That's the danger with open borders and what the president is trying to talk about. Mm-hmm. Under the Obama administration, they did not talk about radical Islam.
No.
I call it radical Islam. President Erdogan will say there's no such thing as radical Islam. Yeah. There's only one. Well, tell me, President Erdogan, how you can say that a person can become a martyr and then a shaheed, as they call them, and kill innocent women and children and go and rewarded with paradise. That's not a religion. That's an ideology.
Sure.
We faced it in World War II against the Japanese on their suicide planes.
Sure. Oh, sure. Yeah. I want to go back to Ilhan Omar. This woman has, she's like, for Islam, she's a win-win-win, okay? Because they chose her, and believe me, she was chosen. She was chosen because first she comes out of the black community, so there's the first shield. You say anything critical, you're saying it because she's black. Number two, she's a woman, so therefore you say anything critical, well, you're saying it because she's a woman. And then, of course, they jump behind the shield of Islam. And some have argued, and they'll say, well, she's supporting, because she's a Democrat, she's supporting the late-term abortion. Yeah, well, that's a lie, okay? Because she's happy to support a late-term abortion of infidels. But ask her if she agrees to late-term abortion in the Muslim community.
No way.
No way. That's right.
No way. So she is... ideally, as you just pointed out, how cleverly they used our system and the liberals, the progressives, the Democratic Party today now coming together, and the Democrats are accepting Sharia law or parts of it in our Congress today, and in other communities they're accepting it in the community. So the go-no zones that are in the country, all these things are building, so we are a prelude. Europe is a prelude of what's going to happen over here, Audrey, unless we educate our people. The Obama administration never called them radical Islamists. They called them violent extremists. Now, I would meet the four stars, and I would talk to them, and they would talk to me about violent extremism. And I would say, General, I don't know, or Admiral, I don't know what violent extremism. What ideology does that define? And they would kind of look at me with a blank stare. Right. And I would say, I know the ideology of radical Islam. It's the Quran. It's the Hadith. It's Sharia law. It's the pillars of Islam.
Right.
That's their ideology. And that is in direct violation of the United States Constitution. So when you say violent extremist, it could be a fascist, a Nazi, a communist, or just some wacko. But they all have an ideology behind it. Right. And so by identifying them as radical Islamists, you clearly point out the perverted form of Islam that they are using. Now, I'm not saying all Muslims are bad by any means.
Right.
But if they follow to the letter of the law, everything about Islam, including Sharia, then...
There's the danger. As the late Admiral Lyons said concerning Islam, until you recognize that Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion, you're never going to come to grips with it. Now, with the real-time example that Europe now displays before us, why do we refuse to learn that this ideology of Islam is the enemy of freedom, and as they did in Europe centuries ago and have done yet again on that continent, they will not live in peace with us, infidels. They must conquer, convert, or kill, and they do it by lying their way into our midst, as we saw with the 9/11 hijackers. They were living among us, and they were friends with us. So why, to me, that's the stunning thing is here. Yes, we realize that the Democrats are welcoming this intentionally, but yet the Republicans are still quiet, aren't they?
Yeah, much too quiet. Why are they not saying what we're discussing? Why do we not have them getting up there? A part of the problem is they've got the anti-Trumpers. They've got everything that is focused on President Trump, and so they're, let's say they're. There are only so many, as Don Quixote said, there are only so many windmills they can take on. But when these issues come up, then they need to stop them and stamp them out. They should never have let Ilhan Omar wear that hijab.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way that should, the Kataka, yeah. There's no way that they should have let that happen. And those are the things that we must stand up. And that's why it's so important, Audrey, what you are doing today and reinforcing. We are sleeping, and it's creeping in now through the Democratic Party.
Yes.
And other minority groups in the United States, and no one is challenging it.
No.
And it was only 17 and a half years ago that we faced this problem in 9/11. Are we going to face it again if we do not become aware of what's going on around us?
Right, exactly. Now, the three, just for the listeners, if you're unaware of the three Muslims, practicing devout Muslims that are in our Congress, you have Andre Carson, you have the two women, Rashida Tlaib, she's the so-called Palestinian, who's already mouthed off before she even got took the oath. And by the way, they took the oath of office on a Quran, it's not on, on the Bible. And so they have no, let's put it this way. They lied because they're not going to uphold the Constitution. And of course, Ilhan Omar. The other reason we can't allow devout Muslims into our legislative body is Islam, as we've mentioned, is not compatible with our Constitution. A Sharia Islamic law dictates that no law shall be above the Quran and its views on women, slavery, freedom, and free speech. All are antithetical to our Constitution. Am I correct, Tom?
Absolutely. And that's the danger we're facing. Sharia law supersedes our Constitution. And you cannot have parts of it in our country. It is absolutely unbelievable that we have elected officials, and in local communities where you have these no-go zones now, which are developing, and they're under Sharia law.
Yeah, and see, the no-go zones, which you're mentioning, we have them in several places in this country already. We have them, of course, all over Dearborn, Michigan, which is mostly Muslim. We have them in Minnesota, and we have them in Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, and it's been featured before, yet the people are silent about it, at least the politicians are, and law enforcement. They have a Sharia police force. It's not police. It's Islamic. And they even have their own cars that look like New York City police cars. That's how bad it is here.
Exactly. And so it's already happening. It is in our midst. And the local law enforcement, the local mayors and that are accepting it. This is our downfall, and it's from within. And that's the danger that we are facing, and why at least, I mean, President Trump stood up and called on Congresswoman Omar to resign over her terribly anti-Semitic comments.
Yes.
And rightly so called her apology lame. And yet Nancy Pelosi kind of said, well, we need to get together, use the moment to move forward as we reject.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Please, please. That's why President Trump is so important to our nation.
Yes.
He calls it radical Islam. He doesn't call it violent extremism, although there are elements in the administration that are trying to get him to tone it down. And my saying is, because they offend the Muslims overseas, and that I say, tell them to fix the problem.
Yeah.
They must fix it from within. It must come from within, and it must come out of Mecca and Medina. That's why Saudi Arabia is so important to us. They must fix the problem. Very unfortunate that the Europeans have succumbed to this. They have submitted. Islam means submission. They have submitted to Islam in Europe. It is not the Europe that I knew and had five tours over there and grew up there as a boy after World War II. It is a different Europe. And they are blissfully going along their way, thinking everything is right. And they don't know how dangerous it is. We used to sing a song when I was a young fighter pilot, Audrey. They'll always be in England. Well, they'll always not be in England. The Brits have succumbed through their commonwealth and through the population growth of Muslims and practicing Muslims. So they are stamping out the really early cradle of democracy that we took our lessons from when we wrote our Constitution at Center. They don't have a constitution, so they have laws, but they have accepted Sharia law in the United Kingdom. And you go into certain areas, they're just no-go zones. The Bobbies do not patrol them. They let the local community, as you just talked about, we are letting it happen now in Brooklyn and other parts where they have the Sharia police. They don't call them that openly, I don't think, but that's what they are. They're putting Sharia law on the American citizens. That is a violent disagreement and opposition to our Constitution, and our Congress ought to hold them to it.
Absolutely. What we have to do. So, Tom, what can the listeners do now? Educate themselves, then educate their representatives. What's the best strategy?
First of all, they've got to educate themselves. They've got to look into it and understand why Sharia law is so dangerous. Sharia law is not California law or New Jersey law or New York law. Sharia law is the law of the ideology of Islam. That is a totalitarian ideology. It is a direct confrontation with our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. So they need to educate themselves on that. And there are lots of good documents out. And that's why this segment that you're doing today, Audrey, is so important to reawaken Americans. We've kind of fallen asleep after almost 18 years of fighting it in the Middle East. And so we need to wake up, be sensitive to it, see what's going on in Europe, see what's going on in Brooklyn, what's going on in Arkansas, what's going on in New Jersey, upstate New York, see what's going on around them, and then demand that their representatives and senators fight this and not accept it. We cannot accept it in our society.
No. And the other thing that we need to fight as well, because they're already here, as you mentioned, is the fact that they're still pouring over the southern border. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're not all South Americans or Mexicans.
No.
There's a population of Muslims coming in through that direction. They're coming in for a reason. And so that's why we've got to stand up and draw this line and educate ourselves, because pretty soon you're going to have whole communities adopt Sharia law, and they won't even know what they've done. They'll adopt it through some small administration, county, city, and it'll spread, and it'll continue to spread. And then it's too late, like it's perhaps too late for Europe.
Yes, I believe from the guests I've had from Europe or in Europe, it is too late there. But it's not too late for us. And Tom, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and the work of CCNS?
Well, CCNS has a webpage, and the Citizens Commission of National Security.org, and they can follow it there. That's where I put out all my information, my speeches, radio shows like this will go on CCNS, and so that's where I get my words out.
And, well, we're going to have to work on getting you on Twitter, which will be very easy. So we're going to look forward to that in the future. I'm going to help you with that because people need to hear what you have to say. And as always, I'm going to have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find the links and everything that the general just shared. Thanks so much, Tom, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
Absolutely, Audrey. You are doing the Lord's work. You have a great show, and it's really important that you continue to do what you're doing. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.